In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. We're looking at Acts 26, Paul before the Emperor Festus. And he gives his testimony to this emperor. He tells him he heard a voice in the Hebrew language. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Now, Festus is listening, you know. I should say Agrippa is listening, you know. And, you know, he's looking at this this Saul, Paul, as if he's nuts. You know, he's telling his testimony, how God used him, even though he was a persecutor of Christians. And then he goes on in verse 19, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those at Damascus, then at Jerusalem, and throughout the country of all Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to the small and the great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer, that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to the people of Israel and to the Gentiles." So here is Paul preaching to the pagan king, really. He's a pagan king. He's not really Jewish. He's a real pagan king. He might have the Jewish name, but he's not Jewish. Listen. "And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are mad. You are out of your mind. Your great learning has turned you insane.'" You know, what are you telling me these things for? I'm a king. You're telling me these things about visions and voices and being changed and preaching. And Paul, you need a psychiatrist. There weren't any of them. You need to be on medication. There wasn't any of them. But what are you telling me this? You're nuts, Paul. You're out of your mind. Listen. But Paul said, "I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking the sober truth. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak freely. For I am persecuted that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" Now Paul's going to answer, "Oh, I know you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, you think you're going to make me a Christian." And Paul said, "Whether a short time or a long time, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for being chained in prison." Then King Agrippa rose with the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, "This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." Now, this is the next portion of the story. Festus thinks he's nuts. Agrippa thinks he's nuts. But Paul now will leave Caesarea by the Mediterranean, and they will sail to Rome. Paul wants to bring his case to Caesar. Paul could have been released, but you see, he was a Roman citizen, and he was whipped. And you had no right to whip a Roman citizen. Paul now will set sail to Rome to speak to the one who calls himself divine, the Caesar. He will want to give his witness to Caesar that maybe Caesar will be converted. This is Paul. He could have been released because he told us he not only was a Roman citizen, he was born a Roman citizen. He didn't buy it. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but now he wants to go to Rome to preach the gospel. Rome, at that time, the center of the world, the center of the culture of the world. Do we find any people like that anymore? Yes, there are people like that. And they are the martyrs of today. And they are in the Middle East. They're in Egypt. They're in Nigeria. People who burn with the zeal and love of God. People who love God and Jesus so much that they give their lives for Him. People that will proclaim with their blood that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh yes, more martyrs in 2011 than there ever was in the early church. We do not hear about them because they do not make money. They are poor. We do not even pray for them because who's going to remember the poor brothers and sisters that are in jail today for the sake of Jesus and who shed their blood? Because, you see, we are the rich Catholic Church in America, or the rich Christian Church in America, when in reality, we are dirt poor. They are the rich. They are the rich because they have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. Their faith is real. Ours has never been tested. They have walked through the valley of the shadow of death and have persevered. We cry when we get the little bit of persecution. And so Paul will go to Rome to share his testimony with Caesar. Does he ever do it? Probably not. Never got in. But I will tell you this. In the letter to the Romans, he will tell you that even in Caesar's house, there are converts to Christianity. That the message will get across. They will put Paul in a prison by the sea where he will have visitors and they will come and he will proclaim to them the kingdom of God. His imprisonment will be used for the kingdom of God. Finally, Paul will lose his head. Finally, his head will be cut off and bounced down the streets. Finally. But before that happens, he will never stop singing the praises of Jesus. He will never stop singing how wonderful the Lord is. Oh, this apostle, you know, there's not many like him. Yeah, there's been Francis who was like him. Francis, so much like Jesus. You know what they did to Francis? They threw him out at the end. Isn't that wonderful? His own brothers threw him out at the end. Wanted nothing to do with him. He was mocked by the order that he founded. Coming to one of his homes as a beggar, it was cold and there was even a little snow on the ground. He came in with his raggedy clothes and what they did to him was they threw him out. They didn't even know this was the founder. And you know what Francis called it? Perfect joy. To be rejected by your own. I'm certainly not there. But that was Francis. That was Francis. They did it to John of the Cross. not strangers, but the church. They locked them up. They locked them up. And it was there in prison that he wrote the commentary on the Song of Solomon. They did it to Alphonsus Liguori, the founder of the Redemptorist Order. They put him in a birdcage. That's right. In a birdcage. And then there was... you could go down the road. You know, there are so many people, so many saints that the church has persecuted. You want to know why? Because the saints are the light that show what Christianity is about, and it's not about business, and it's not about playing. It's about surrender. Joan of Arc. They burned her. Oh, yeah, they burned her. Her own people. They wouldn't even allow her to go to confession. She begged before her death that she would be able to confess her sin. They would not allow it. When one of the people asked Joan, "Are you saved? Are you God's own? Are you living in grace?" You know what she said? "If I am, thanks be to God. And if I'm not, I pray he would put me there immediately." Then there's Savonarola, the prophetic man. I believe they burned him too. Now his case is up for beatification. Isn't this something? Isn't this something? Can I tell you this? The church are the only ones that shoot their own wounded. That's why we've got no place. Because Jesus said that they would be one, as I am in thee, and thou art in me, that they would be completely one in us, that the world would know that thou hast sent me. That's what Jesus said on the night before he died. On the night before he died. The church is the only one that shoots her own wounded. In May, there will be the ordination in Boston. Okay? There will be great ordination in Boston. I don't know how many people are going to be ordained priests, but they will be ordained priests, whether there be two or four or five. You know what? They will be ordained priests. And the choir will sing. Listen what they will sing. "Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." But it's a lie, because one strike and you're out. It's a lie. Because if they make one strike, and they're accused of something, they're out. And if they're ordained less than 10 years, they're thrown out, laicized. I have a priest coming to me who's penniless. He was laicized. He was stalked. You know what I mean? Stalked from the day of his ordination. Finally, when he gave in, the person said, "Now I will destroy your life." Penniless. Penniless. Diabetes. Can't stand on his legs. Fallen through the cracks. But you see, I still believe thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I believe what the church says. We just don't want to live it. And we don't want to support those. And we don't want to help those. Father Toomey, holy man of God, had a consensual relationship with a woman. He'll never serve again. The church is far poorer, if 40 priests were taken out that do nothing. But to me, has the heart of Jesus. Oh, I could go on and on and on. After all these years, we have not learned to care for each other. We have learned what they did to Paul. Throw him out of here. He doesn't belong here. Send him to Rome. Even though he can be released, get him out of here. He's making us uncomfortable. He's mad. He's weird. You know, I thought in all the documents that are written, when we call the church Mother, Holy Mother Church, Mother. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've known many mothers that have had children in jail, and when they're in jail, they're still their children. You understand what I'm saying? You want to call yourself mother, you better live like a mother, and you better care for your children. You want to call yourself mother, you better live like a mother and care for your children. I've known mothers going miles and miles and miles to visit their children in jail. Whether they were guilty or not guilty made no difference. It made no difference. Mother was there for the child. Holy Mother Church? I don't think so. Holy Orphan Church. Do you know why Boston is being stripped? Because you know what? God takes seriously what we say with our mouths. Holy Mother Church, yeah? You know, Mother. When there are priests that are starving and can't pay their bills and living like paupers, even if they did something wrong, you sing, Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And you know what? I hear those words, and I will bring a curse on you because you do not believe what you sing. It's all a show. I'm opening my Bible to the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. It's an interesting little chapter, you know. It's about the shepherd, starting with me. It's about the shepherds. It's something that we should read all the time, we who shepherd people. At least we say we shepherd people. It's something that we should really have in mind. As Ezekiel says these words in the 34th chapter, I speak them to myself as well as to every other shepherd. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord, ho, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled over them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, and none to search and seek them out. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, my sheep have become food for the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, and they may not be food for them. For Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and I lay down my life for them. Let me tell you, that is what a shepherd is. A shepherd is not what he wants the globe to think about him, but laying down his life for the sheep. That is a shepherd. The shepherd goes before the sheep to make sure that there's green pastures. The shepherd provides for the sheep. Even when the sheep stray, they are his. I remember saying this when we were met with Cardinal Law, when we had an open forum, when we were able to speak our minds after the priest scandal. I said this: there is forgiveness for everybody else but the priest. The priest who offers forgiveness day in and day out, there is no forgiveness for him. There's something wrong with that picture. This, I'm not telling you that child molesters should be put back in parishes. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying everyone should not be judged under the same umbrella. And as a result, God will not be mocked. What we sow is what we reap. What we sow is what we reap. If we sow not caring for the sheep and for those people who have been ordained, God will strip us bare. He already has started, and you know it's not finished, because we have not repented. And that's the only answer that God would bring us to repentance and say, Lord, we have cared more about the globe than about caring for our shepherds that so have gone astray. Oh yeah, we send them to sex school and all that kind of stuff. That's no good. What about having a father? Is not the shepherd supposed to be daddy to the sheep and to his priest? Let me tell you, my friend, God is not finished with the Church of Boston or the Church of Pennsylvania. We've seen that there were 21 priests that were thrown out yesterday. But you know what? He will strip us bare until we repent. Because you see, he makes us eat our words. Do not sing, thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, if you don't believe what you're saying. Because God hears every word that comes out of our mouth. He hears them and takes them seriously. And if we don't care for our shepherds, those that have even gone astray, the Lord says, then I will tear you down. I will take down the hedge, and wild beasts will come in, and they will destroy your city. You read the prophets. No one wants to read the prophets. But you see, God is very, very just. All loving, but all just. All loving, but all just. And he's looking for repentance from his people. And you know what? He hasn't got it yet. So you know what that means? Just like the Israelites. Come on now. Let's go around one more time. What should have taken you a couple of months took you 40 years. Come on. Let's go around the desert one more time. Maybe you'll learn next time. Come on. I'm going to strip you some more. I'm going to strip you some more. Maybe you'll learn next time. You know one of the things they said about Jesus? We heard it in the gospel the other day. You do not care about what people think about you. They were trying to trick him. And they were trying to say, you know, are we going to render the tax to Caesar? So their first statement was true. You are a man who does not care about public opinion. Unfortunately, the church cares too much about what people think about us. Isn't it something that if a man sins against a woman in a marriage, or a woman sins against a man, we try to reconcile them? But if a priest sins, we throw him out. This is the reality. One strike, and you're out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for mercy. says, you know what, Lord, we need mercy. Because when the sheep are scattered and the priests are scattered and the sheep are not fed, so we ask for mercy. We need your mercy. Without your mercy, we're not going to be able to live. We need your mercy. I need your mercy. Without your mercy, we're not going to be able to live. You showed mercy on Saul of Tarsus, who was killing Christians. Show mercy on your church again. Do not give us what we deserve, but bring us to our knees, please. Bring us to our faces, please, that we would repent, please. Because if we don't, we're just going to have more stripping, and none of our programs will work. They will all be in vain. You know what Jesus said, quoting Jeremiah? Strike the shepherd and scatter the sheep. It's time to heal the shepherds that have sinned. And provide for them, and not strike them. They've been struck enough. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.